Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Roswell, 60 years later. Wow. Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin, and welcome to the UFO Files. And we are at the Civic Center every day between 10 and noon, and we'll be here through Sunday, July 8th, so if you get a chance, come on down to see us. The programs will last on our website forever, so if it's past July 8th when you hear the show, too bad, you missed it. We're having fun, aren't we, Phyllis Galdy?
Hey, I love it. It's great.
This is Phyllis Galdy, and she's publisher of Fate Magazine, and she's a very conservative woman, as you can tell by her hairdo.
Yes, yeah. I am a Norwegian.
And we have an audience here, and we'll be talking to them. If you have any questions, feel free when we give a chance to get out in the studio to ask them. Phyllis, you go to most of these UFO things.
Yes, I try to.
And have you ever found something interesting? I mean, I'm sure you find stories and interesting people just showing up at these conferences. I do.
Every time I come to a conference, I make some wonderful contacts and meet new people. I meet new authors. We also publish UFO-related books. So, yes, every conference, it's just I'm richer because of the friends that I make.
Now, what's the next Fate magazine? You're out now, August issue.
A July issue. We brought the July issue here. And I might mention that there's a free July issue for everyone who comes by our booth. And It's got Roswell Revisited on the cover. So kinds of good stories.
Every time I have Phyllis on, I always try to get a little notice about the next month, and she never tells me. I try all kinds of trick questions. You don't really go to press till the last minute, do you?
Pretty much, right. When I get home next week, we will work literally day and night to get the August issue. And it's interesting because the magazine kind of writes itself. I mean, we have article submissions from people all over the world. And then we have a slush pile that we choose from. And it's like whatever we're supposed to be telling people about, it kind of falls into our lap. So the magazine literally creates itself. It's pretty bizarre. You just have to be
How long have you had Fate magazine?
I've been working on Fate actually since 1989 off and on till 94, and then I quit, started my own publishing company, and then in 1999 I was involved.
Now Fate magazine goes back to when? 40s?
1948. So next year will be the 60th anniversary of Fate magazine.
Are you going to have a big deal like this?
Sure.
And we'll
come to Roswell. Yeah. we'll celebrate Fate out here.
You've always been interested in this, and if they find your picture on our website, which we have a gallery of our guests as well, in addition
Scary.
To the shows. You were telling us about you lived in a haunted house in one of those shows up in Minneapolis or Minnesota, out in the boonies or someplace.
Yes, I grew up in a haunted house. So my first memories of a small child were seeing a ghost in my bedroom standing in the doorway, and I was scared to death. I was just terrified. I would run into my parents' bedroom. They would try to lock me out of their room, and I was bad for their married life, I guess. But anyway, then when I was 25, my mother informed me, your grandfather died in that room. Duh. If they would have told me that, I think I would have been less frightened because I thought the ghost was there to kill me and hurt me. So I was terrified all the time. And then later on that room, we realized it was like a vortex right where that doorway was because other people had experiences there. And we went on to have seances in the old living room right next to it. And I wouldn't say conjured up, but we created a lot of interesting experiences there.
You really feel that ghosts are more or less benign, huh?
Not necessarily, no.
Oh,
I've had attempted...
See, we'll get into my favorite part.
Oh, dear.
The mean ones.
I had attempted possession several times, too.
Really?
Yes. I guess when you get into this paranormal field, you have more things that come around you. Yet they're attracted to you. Who knows how intelligent they are. But anyway, one time in Colville, Utah, I was on my way back from the Bay Area UFO conferences, and I was driving alone. I lost my pillow at one of the motels, which was another sad story. But anyway, I like to stay
you
in mom.
You mean literally you died?
I forgot it. I forgot my pillow. You know, it's my security blanket, my Linus security blanket. But I like to stay in mom-and-pop hotels because they're less expensive, and they just have more personality.
Well, you're in the ghost business, and I saw Psycho.
Yeah, well, I did wind up in a psycho motel.
Uh-huh.
In Colville, Utah. That was
tell me a little bit about that. They didn't have the strange son, did they?
No. Okay. It was a nice, young, good-looking, married couple with small children, clean. The office was real clean and nice, so I thought, this is safe. This is a real small town, so I went over to the motel, and it wasn't very fancy, but I grew up on a farm, so I'm used to not fancy. And it was more like hunting lodges or hunting motels for people that did deer hunting up there, I guess. But anyway, it had a separate little bedroom and a little ratty bathroom and a living room with a TV and a couch even there. But anyway, there was wind scratching on the door or on the window in the bedroom, so it took me a while to get to sleep. And I had all the doors locked and feeling comfortable, and woke up all of a sudden. There was a man in my room, and he sat down on the side of the bed, and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to be raped, I'm going to be killed, this is it. There's no. How did he get in? I had the door locked, I was so scared, I mean, my heart was beating, I was paralyzed. And then he lay down on the bed, and he put his arms around me and spooned up to me.
You could feel him, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
He was real.
Absolutely.
This was a real man.
I could feel it was a man, yes. And I was just absolutely paralyzed. And then after about 10 minutes, it seemed like forever, the energy on the bed just left up. It just lifted up and it disappeared. I get goosebumps talking about it still. Anyway, it was gone.
Did he whisper sweet nothing?
No.
Nothing.
Absolutely. The presence, the feeling there. So the next morning when I was getting ready to leave, the wife, the good Mormon wife, was cleaning the motel's room out there. And I got a funny question to ask. Anybody ever see any ghosts around here? And she kind of looked. She laughed. She says, yeah, people say it's haunted. You know, there's like two or three rooms they wouldn't stay in. So it was kind of
was that one of the rooms they put you in?
No, okay, it was a different. Okay. He just came in. But, yeah, the guys wouldn't even stay in several of the rooms.
Wow.
So there must be a resident male ghost there. But wow. Yeah, I thought I was a goner. I thought I was dead.
Did you ever write that story?
I told a little bit about it, and I see by the papers. And every month I write a little.
Uh-huh. Do you do much writing, or you just do the editing?
I used to write, but now I don't have time. I used to teach school. I used to teach junior and senior high school English. I'm still correcting papers.
Okay.
The articles. That's all I have time for.
Okay, we're going to stop for a minute. Jane's going to edit this. Anybody have questions for Phyllis Golding? Anybody? Okay. Hold on a minute until I get over there. Jane, we're going to go over there. Hold on a minute. Anybody have a ghost story?
I do.
Well, Paul, you're going to get on in a minute, so I'll save that for you later. What's your
name?
Okay, we're rolling here. We're in the audience, and we have some questions for Phyllis Galdi. Your name?
Doug Elwell, publisher of Mysterious World.
And are you a competitor of Phyllis?
Or? No, we're more of a travel magazine. They're way better than we are. But the question is, do you think it was a resident spirit, or was it more of a family spirit? You're pretty sure it was resident in the house?
You mean for my house?
The man that grabbed you and loved you.
For example, succubus, incubus kind of situation.
I had one of those experiences too, and I'm not sure I even want to go there.
I don't
want to
hear about it. It's very personal, I'm sure, but you're sure certain it was a resident spirit.
You mean the ghost in the house where I grew up, or the motel ghost?
The motel.
Oh, yeah. The motel ghost was probably a resident ghost there. Just somebody who died, maybe he lived in the area and just was hanging around.
And your own personal home ghost is the same kind of situation?
No, that was my grandfather. I saw him,
that
yeah.
Family.
That was definitely my grandfather, because in seances we did contact him and we found out that he was there to protect us.
Ah.
It was a very benevolent, caring thing, but we didn't know it when I was a small child. I didn't, but many people had experiences seeing him. So
very interesting.
It was very interesting.
In your travel, it's a travel magazine. Is it
right? Mysterious Travel. We handle exotic.
Is it a website
magazines.
Or what?
It's a website, www.mysteriousworld.com.
And do you put a magazine out too, or just the website?
No, just the website.
And Mysterious Travel, you name places like this hotel she was talking about to go to, or what?
We haven't really done haunted stuff. For example, it's a combination of historical and mysterious. For example, on the way here, I came down Route 66, so we can have a series of articles on Route 66 as well as Roswell. So that's part of the reason I came down here. Did kind of a two-for-one.
Route 66, can you tell me a haunted story real quick?
Oh, dear. I don't know. There's probably...
This goes from Chicago through Oklahoma City to Albuquerque to Amarillo. See, I heard this.
It goes all the way to Los Angeles. Right. And I can't think of a haunted story, but there sure is a heck of a lot of really great hotels which might have some ghosts.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Anybody have a ghost experience they want to talk about? You have a question for Phyllis? Okay. Okay, we can take that part out, Jane. We want to know that they're clamoring to be on the air. Hold on a minute.
This is a do-it-yourself show. I guess you've noticed that.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up for you, Phyllis. Phyllis, what's new with your projects? I know you're publishing some more books.
Yes.
What do you have, about 12 or 14 out right now? Something like that. It looks like a big catalog to me. Is
well,
it
we
six?
Actually, we have about 100 titles.
Okay, I knew it was big.
And most of them are metaphysical, paranormal. That's the fun part. We have some normal, straight books, history, biography, children's books. But my true love is the paranormal.
Phyllis, we'll be talking to you. Her booth is right next to ours here at the Civic Center in Roswell. And you've been coming to Roswell off and on for a long time.
Yes, I love it out here.
I know you went down to Carlsbad Caverns one time.
Yes, that was a wonderful experience. We went up to Lincoln, Billy the Kid, and over the Lincoln County Wars. And it was north of here where supposedly Billy the Kid was shot.
And, you know, each time we talk to you, we find out you're interested in a different subject. Let's give Phyllis DeGaulle a big hand. Thanks a lot. This is Jerry Pippin, and we'll be right back. This is the UFO Files from Roswell. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate magazine. Fate magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Welcome back to the Jerry Pippin Show, and we're at the Roswell, and we're at the Civic Center. I thought I'd tell everybody who we brought with us. Roberta Scott is our on-location producer here. Jane Swartley is outside handling our booth. She'll be editing the shows later. What we do is we record them here, then we put the bumper music. That's the music that takes you to the commercials, which is the important part of the show, we all know. And Dr. Rita Louise is in the booth as well, a psychic, and we broadcast here every day, 10 until... all noon, 12:30 today, I think is how late we're going to go. And in addition to that, we're down at the Cover-Up Cafe, which is right down the street from the UFO Museum. And we're there every night between 6 and 9. And we'll be there through Sunday night. Paul Price is with us. And, Paul, you live in Roswell, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Paul came to me by recommendation of a an investigator friend of mine, Gordon Novell. You may or may not have heard of him. And he says, you need to talk to Paul. And as the conversation goes along, you'll find out why we need to talk to him. He has a relative who has some experience with the original Roswell scene. But, Paul, you're into a lot of things.
Yeah, I'm an author. I've written a scientific paper on... vortex gravity control, and done acting, comedy. And
yeah, right now, you're really interested in this ARV, I guess is what we call them.
The alien reproduction vehicle, yes.
Yeah, and why don't you tell our audience a little bit what we're talking about here?
Okay, let's go back, since we're here in Roswell, let's go back to the first week of July 1947. a purported crash craft crashed up north of Roswell. Depending upon who you've heard it from, it could be 75 miles, or even more recently, admitted by Walter Hout in an affidavit that he wrote before his death, between 30 to 45 miles north of Roswell, there were debris, or they did find debris, and bodies of aliens at that particular point. Now, what the ARV is that they've taken technology not only from the Roswell incident, but also from other crashed saucers that have been collected and put inside the care of the United States government to reverse engineer those using human technology and develop a working system that can actually fly and do some pretty amazing things.
And so is this still just theory, or is somebody actually trying to do this now?
Well, with the evidence I've seen and also discussions I've had with Gordon Novell and with Mark McCandless,
yes,
this is an actual working system. The original prototype was
now,
built.
Now we're talking about using a different sort of propulsion system, the same thing that the alien vehicles seem to be using in UFO sightings every day that we hear about.
Correct, and what it does is that it kind of warps the field that it creates.
Have they been able to fly anything yet?
Well, I haven't seen any definitive definitive proof, but from the people I've talked to, yes.
So you think this is something that we pretty well figured out how they do it?
I do believe so, and I think after 60 years of experimentation, hey, they should have made a breakthrough somewhere.
Now, you talked about this crash. How many people here have heard about Walter Hout and his new affidavit? He of course, was the officer, the public information officer here at the Roswell Army Air Force Base at the time, released the famous press release that we've all played on the air before and all of the things that I talked about. And we've had actually Walter on one of our shows in an interview, and now we're playing little sound bites. He passed away in 2005. He came up with some pretty startling information about this other crash site, and you know, we don't know much about what your father saw, but he was a young boy and he saw this thing, huh?
Well, the strange thing about it was before he. Before Walter Hout ever even wrote the affidavit that has now been released, my father had told me about 12 years ago during the broadcast of the original Fox special on the alien autopsy photos that he had been out to the impact site. He explained it to me. He says he did not see any aliens out there, but from every indication that he saw, it was the debris site that he went to with my uncle was between 30 to 45 miles northwest of Roswell. It wasn't at the Mac Brazel site at all. And what he saw was two halves of what looked like an egg-shaped craft that impacted against a rock and split apart. There was debris all around the area between 200 to 2,000 yards spreading outward. He had picked up some of that debris, brought it home. Okay. He had picked up some of that debris and brought it home and had the debris there for at least 2 to 2.5 years after the incident occurred. My dad does not know exactly what happened to that debris right now, but his story confirms the new affidavit Walter Hout actually put out, or that was actually put out about a month or two ago, if I'm correct.
Hey, why you lived in Houston for a little while. In fact, didn't you work down at NASA headquarters for a while?
I worked at the Johnson Space Center, and that's an interesting story. I actually worked as a cafeteria worker there. I was a pot washer. I was the lowest of the low. I mean, you can't get a job any lower than washing pots. Well, when I worked out...
Yeah, we used to call it the back sink guy in the Army when you pull KP. You didn't want to do that.
Yeah, but I did that for a living, Jerry.
Okay.
Well, I was working there for about 10 months, and I came up with an idea that I wanted to share with the people in the research and development departments out there. For it was called the Electromagnetic Pulse Reaction Engine. Lo and behold, when I told an engineer about it, I was fired, dismissed from employment, and then watched within 6 months to a year after my termination by FBI officials.
And they did this to just a bottle washer?
Yes, pretty much.
What do you make of all? You've had experience with the secrecy. It seems to be really nonsensical almost at this point, 60 years later.
Well,
there's a lot of things going on, and okay. I guess with this Agen vehicle, if it really works, it would change the dynamics of quite a few companies.
Well, when we're talking about the oil companies here, bottom line, you have a device that can pull energy from what is called the vacuum, or even people who are old enough know about ether theory, can pull it from the ether vacuum and transmute that into working energy.
We've done a lot of shows on ARVs and things like that. We have some on the website, so if you want to check that, folks, please do that at jerrypippin.com. Okay, Jay, I'm going to stop it for a minute. Anybody have a question for Paul or a comment about anything he's talked about? Anybody want to talk about Roswell? Okay.
I have a question.
Okay. Hold on. I got to come back over there. Yeah. Which is no problem. I just want to make it. No, I'm coming around. I follow it. Hey, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Should I help?
We edit these shows, and they turned around, we put the music in and all this, and all this dead air and everything. We sound like $1 million.
Okay,
what's the name of that website again?
The Mysterious World.
We're going to make you the professional question asker today.
I have questions. So you mentioned that the actual crash site was northwest of Roswell, 40 miles. Was it anywhere near the Oscuro Mountains? Those twin peaks in the east side of 54.
Well, to be honest with you, I've never been up there. My dad just pointed it out to me on a map and said,
really?
I remember it being right there.
So was it near Corona?
No, the one near Corona is a different
site altogether.
It's about
20 miles or 30 miles from Corona.
Yeah.
So between Corona and Roswell.
Yes, it's right there in between, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So I want to get straight on this website again. Mysterious places?
Mysteriousworld.com.
And what? Give me an example of some of the things. What's on your front page right now?
Front page is actually a bunch of three-year-old stories. We're about to republish them again after I'm done with this Roswell weekend. Right now we have an article on the Grand Canyon and the ancient mysteries of the Hopi, and also Giants of the Earth. About European giants.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out because I'm going to be broadcasting from the Grand Canyon on in October. They have a paranormal conference up there.
There's a great couple of articles on the Grand Canyon, which you'll find very interesting.
And they have a ghost train, supposedly, or a regular train. But we did with Dr. Rita Louise across the hall, who's helping us, a psychic. We did the most haunted town in Texas, Jefferson. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't. I'm not familiar with haunted towns.
You need to check that out sometime. Right? Everybody in that town had a story.
Most haunted town in Texas?
Yes.
Jefferson's
in East Texas. Anybody else have a comment or question? Anybody got a sighting they'd like to talk about? Or anything? Okay. Okay, Jane, I'm going to just thank Paul for being on.
Okay.
Paul, we've enjoyed having you on. Okay, is there something you'd like to close with?
Yes, one thing that I'd like to try to tell everybody here that I'd like to work on right now is a new foundation that can help with the remaining witnesses as a kind of a token gesture to them. for them taking all the risk and allowing us to know what their stories are, and call it the Roswell UFO Witness Legacy Foundation. And this is to help those who are in need right now, who have given their stories under great risk, and help us give back to them for what they've given to us.
And how will they find us some information? I guess you'll give it to us and we'll put it on the website. But.
Okay, I will also have the have some information on my MySpace page, which is myspace.com/ Paul Richard Price, scientist. And you can find that out. I'm also an author. I've written a book called The Prophecy Chronicles, Chronicle 1, The Chosen One. It was released on March 30th, and you can buy it on Amazon.
Okay, now what about The Chosen One? What do you mean? Who chose him?
Okay, well, it's a... Thank you, Jerry. Okay, that's a good thing. It's a story about end times from the perspective of the man who will become the one world ruler. It's the first in a series. And it deals with not necessarily biblical renditions about that story, but it takes historical fact, melds it with fiction, to come up with a story dealing with that.
Okay, he mentioned something. How many people think will be here on January 1st, 2013?
Applaud. Again, it's radio. Okay.
Paul, these people are not ready for the end of the world.
Hey, the way I look at it is, people, if it comes, it comes. Just be prepared for it.
Paul Price is our guest, and we're broadcasting from the Civic Center here in Roswell. Thank you, Paul, for coming on.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Farah Yurduze. Maybe you have questions about love, your job, your health, money, and more. With my psychic gifts and my tarot readings, we can reveal the solutions to your deepest mysteries. Please visit me through Jerry Pippin Radio and let's find the answers together.
Click on Farah's banner for the answers to the most personal question.